Hey, it's Stephanie Staples, and welcome to Your Life Unlimited. If you've not tuned in before, well, this show is about inspiration, ideas, and things that are help you make your life a little bit better, a little bit easier, help you make the world a little bit better of a place. So we're so happy that you joined us. Lots of cool things coming up. We're going to be talking with Ken Keyes. He's the author of Why Aren't You More Like Me? And haven't you thought that once or twice in the last week or so? I know I probably have. So I'm looking forward to learning from him this hour. So tune in. I'm also going to be talking about procrastination. What needs to get done? What is on your list that you've been avoiding or running from or ignoring completely? That call you got to make, a program you got to start, commitment that you need to keep. And with so many things to do and so many things that are all screaming priority, some of them are things you really don't want to do probably, right? So the truth is that procrastination hurts. It hurts your feelings. It hurts your confidence. It hurts your self-esteem. And when we don't feel good about ourselves, we don't feel good. We can't give our best to our families or our world or ourselves. So the later in the hour, I'm going to give you a few tips to help you put procrastination behind you and make it a thing of the past. So I'm always looking for creative ideas to be happier and healthier. And I stumbled upon something this month. Actually, it went out in this month's newsletter. So if you're interested in getting a little hit of inspiration in your inbox, you can sign up on yourlifeunlimited.ca. And this month's newsletter is going to sound a little odd at first, but trust me, stick with me. It worked. It's actually worked. So I call it the upstairs-downstairs game. So you know I like to talk about bringing your A game to work and life. And if we think of life as a game, it makes it a little more fun. How can we make it a little more exciting? So picture yourself going downstairs to put the wash in the laundry. And now I want you to just turn around and come right back up the stairs again and then go back downstairs and put the wash in the laundry. And so every time I'm going down the stairs, I turn around and I come right back up the stairs again. It's a great excuse, especially if you're getting a little bit older and, you know, sometimes you go downstairs and then you forget what you went downstairs for. And then you're like, oh, crap. And then you go back upstairs. It's like, oh, now I remembered. But in this game, you don't have to blame it on your bad memory. It's just that you're trying to put a little more exercise into your day. So it's one simple, simple thing that you can do. It takes 30 seconds. Every time you go downstairs, quickly go back upstairs and go back downstairs again. Do what you had to do. And the same thing when you're downstairs and you come upstairs, go back downstairs and then come back upstairs again. At first, your family will think you're a little odd, but that's okay. Trust me, you'll feel that heart rate go up a little bit. And it's not just about getting your body a little bit more fit. It's about what it says to your mind. It's about being stronger. It's about doing what you say you're going to do. It's about adding a little more fitness into your daily life. So little ways, way better than just thinking about it and not doing it at all. So do little things. That's the upstairs downstairs game. That's my big recommendation for this week. Big shout out to TiberRiver.ca. Check out there. They are getting ready for Christmas. It's a coming. 408 Academy, 1650 Keniston Road. Anybody on your list would love stuff from Tiber River. So check them out, TiberRiver.ca. We're going to be back in a moment. We're talking with Ken Keyes, the author of Why Aren't You More Like Me? Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. We are well on our way on our mission to collect 1,001 pairs of socks by Christmas. And if you are interested in helping us out, next time you're at the grocery store or the dollar store or any store, pick up a pair or two or 10, and you can drop them off here at CJOB or at our friends at First Impressions Hair and Skin Team, 1631 St. Mary's Road. They always keep you looking and feeling great. So if you don't mind helping us out, we would love to be able to help some people in our city that are less fortunate. 1,001 pairs is our goal. I am super excited today. I have just picked up Ken Keyes, and boy, it's my lucky day. He's the author of Why Can't You Be More Like Me? If I had to write a book, another book, I think I'd have this exact title because, hey, life would be simpler, wouldn't it be?
Well, it's not every day I just get picked up by the radio host.
I'm going to drop you off too. Don't worry. I'll bring you back where I found you.
Well, maybe everybody in Manitoba is going to have a new host for this program. Who knows,
you
right?
You never know. You never know. Welcome to Winnipeg, Vancouverite there.
Oh, thank you very much.
Always happy to have you in our fine province. I want to hear about a little bit of the back end of your story, your business. You got a lot going on, and I'm always interested in the back end of the story.
Well, back end of the story. Well, I mean, I'm in the profession that I started with, dairy farming.
Oh.
So I grew up at a dairy farm.
Wow.
So yeah, well, that's really close now as I travel around around the world as a speaker and a trainer and author. But I grew up in a dairy farm and had all the value sets of working hard. But I knew when I was 16 that one of my callings was really to communicate to others to help them to realize their potential. So some of you that are listening were in the 4-H program, and that's where I was doing that. And in 1989, I made the decision to go into sales training. I moved out of sales and sales and marketing, and then got involved with the company Consulting Resource Group, which I now own, back in 1990, and just progressed from there and working through sales training and leadership development, and now working to the area of being an expert on developing assessments to help people to realize their potential.
So what do you find is the biggest obstacle? Like, do people are like, oh my God, I want to get assessed and see, or are people like resistant to it?
I think it's a little bit of both. We have some people in some camps that don't even get me close to that,
right,
and other individuals who are just ready to kind of engage it and get included in it. And there are various levels of assessments out there, Stephanie, some of which are not as good as others. So some people have negative experiences, say, I don't want to do this again. And really, our company is about developmental focus. So we want people to have an assessment that helps them to move forward rather than a test I do to you. It's something I do with you so that you can take the information and act on it immediately so you can improve your relationships, improve your job, improve your connection to life in general, and be intentional with your decisions.
I think that's the key, right? It's what we do with whatever assessment after. We can take all that we want in the world, and if we're going to go out at the end of the day and do things exactly the same, we're stuck.
Well, all the people that are listening about all those exercise equipment pieces that are just sitting there not doing anything, what good is that? So this is the same thing with any kind of developmental work, the work that you do, the work that we do, is that if people don't act on it, don't move forward with it or benefit from that, then what's the benefit of it? So we want people to be able to engage and to move forward with it and realize, you know, all the opportunities that are in front of them.
So do you find the people that are actually in tune enough to take the assessment, are those the ones that are willing to do something different, or does that group subdivide again?
Well, I think it's if somebody's willing to take the assessment and it's based in the right structure, then most people are going to benefit from it, just the way that our tools are designed. I mean, our tools are designed all the way from grade 10 or grade 9 students. I remember doing the program. So we have an assessment called the Personal Style Indicator, which is really the basis of my book, Why Aren't You More Like Me? And so I was in our kids' grade 8 and grade 9 class. And so I had to spend a couple hours with the kids there, and they just loved it. And finally, they said, here's something that helps me understand who I am, the preferences that I bring. Because, you know, it says, why aren't you more like me for a reason? A lot of times we judge others, we look at others, and we screen other people's behavior as being appropriate based on our own biases. When in fact, each of us are unique, and so we bring differences. And so what we do in the book is we help people to understand the preferences that we bring, the differences and the filters that we have in our life, and that one is not better than another, they're simply different. And so once people get engaged, you say, oh, finally, you know, and, you know, I've recently, you know, do all our certification training programs across the world now and have people from all around the world. And when they come in, they finally say, wow, a process that be able to honor me for who I am. Because a lot of times, and there'll be listeners out there, Stephanie, who maybe feel guilty or beat themselves up for not being like another person. So, you know, I'm not trying to be like Stephanie, and Stephanie's not trying to be Ken right now. Is that Stephanie has her own space, her own place. And so for those of you that are listening out there, is that we want to encourage you is that you are okay in who you are. And so we have this validation, but also this acknowledgement that I have certain preferences, those are okay, and that you might be different and one's not better than another, rather than trying to pretend to be somebody, or our parents saying that we should be somebody different, or our significant other spouse or a manager saying you should be this way. It's just helping to understand how I was hardwired at birth.
So the way I hear it is it's almost like there's two goals, is that one is to be able to understand yourself better, and two is to be able to understand other people better so that you can help that.
Oh, absolutely. And so my ability to be able to be intentional with my behavior or build credibility. So one of the things that we talk about in the book is that, you know, our level of credibility with others is based on our behavior seen as appropriate by them. But a lot of times people are not awake to that. So before I can actually manage my behavior or manage or even be aware of, did I just offend Stephanie? Or was I building relationship with Stephanie? I know that most of us don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to see if I can offend everybody that I meet. Now, there might be a few people that are out there, but the majority of us don't try to do it. However, our behaviors do each day if we're not awake to it. So first of all, I need to kind of know, what is it that I'm doing as far as my preferences out there and my orientation? And the second part is, what does Stephanie or the other people need? And so when I start looking at that, first of all, I become in charge of myself so that I'm not using my personal style, as we call it, as an excuse for my behavior. Stephanie, this is just the way that I am, so too bad, just suck it up. Rather than being self-centered, what I do is I say, you know what, this is who I am, but I'm not going to let who I am get in, interfere with the relationship with Stephanie. What does Stephanie need? And so all the people that we meet, every person in life that we meet for any kind of amount of time, is that we leave an impression of credibility, either high, medium, or low. Credibility is the price we pay for showing up. But are we aware of what it is? Is it high? Is it medium? Is it low? Do you even know? And so what we do in the book is we help people to be conscious of that. And then on the other side, it says, okay, what does Stephanie need from me so that I can build relationship with that individual? So if it's personal, so if you're listening to this and it's around your significant other or your partner, your spouse, or maybe is that as a parent and you have a broken relationship with a child and I have a 16 or a 17 and 18 year old. And so, you know what, you build that, or if it's a work environment or any kind of a nonprofit or any place, is that we are constantly in relationship. So that is one of the priorities, is how can I be aware of that and just have some fun with it? It's not a burden. Mm-hmm. It's really a release. And people finally said, oh, I finally understand why people are doing certain things.
I'm interested in the credibility part, the high, medium, low. Do you think we would assess ourselves higher than we actually are? Like, I might think I'm very credible, but somebody else might not assess me the same way.
Well, we have a little interesting thing that we do in our program. It says, where does credibility exist? And so the trick question of that is that it exists in the other person's mind. And so we might think that we're credible in other people, but we might be surprised on maybe... Okay. You know, if I start thinking about different groups, you know, if I say politicians, or we hear of different things in the moon, or if I say doctors, or if I say a certain company, there will be, each person will have a level of credibility or their perception if that company is credible based on their own experience. Now, the one thing that has to be present for credibility to occur at all is that it's called your reputation. So if I don't know you, if I've interacted with you, there's no way for me to have any kind of level of credibility, either high, medium, or low. There's none, because there's just no, because credibility is really behavior in motion. And every organization that exists has a level of credibility. If it's a phone company, if it's a television or a radio station, whatever it is, they have a level of credibility in the marketplace if they want it or not. You and I have it with all the relationships that we interact with. And the reality is, Stephanie, your question is a great question, because I think a lot of people don't even think about it. So is it high, medium, or low? Do they think it's high or low? Do they even think about it is probably the point of the book, Why Aren't You More Like Me, is that we need to be conscious of this. There was a study done by a U.S. company that said that 70% of people are unconscious about the nature of their relationships and the impact that their personal style has in the environment around them.
Ooh, wow, that's a big number.
That's a lot of unconsciousness that's going on out there,
I'll say. So what's the biggest surprise, like, when you're teaching people how to do this, and what's the biggest aha that people kind of gather when they read your book, and what do you think?
Well, do we put it into one category? It's kind of hard to, I think there are different groups within that question, Stephanie, is that for some people, it's finally an acknowledgement and acceptance of themselves, because their whole life they've been told to be somebody else. I remember growing up, I'm a very verbal person. Both of us are professional speakers. We travel around the country, get paid to do it. And what an honor and a privilege to do it.
Amen.
But by my whole time growing up, my father would say to me, kids are to be seen, not heard, right? So if I'm a verbal person, my whole life, especially in my younger years, is that even in my teenage years, my self-esteem and self-worth was low because the environment was not acknowledging the fact that I was okay. Yes, I need to manage my verbalness. I need to manage the fact that I don't inappropriately speak out. I mean, those are some things where we talk about being in charge. But the other side is being the acknowledgement of an acceptance of self. You know what? I'm not a bad person. I'm not the wrong person. The other side is the aha of really awareness of the differences that are out there. We tend to marry people who are different than us. And then all of a sudden, when we marry people who are different, we said, oh, that is really irritating me. And they're not getting up in the morning trying to irritate, but no, that is how my partner is acting. And really, sometimes we marry the gaps or the deficiencies or the opposites that we are in. And it's really the acceptance that they didn't get up in the morning to irritate me.
Sure.
But they really have that acceptance or that difference.
That can change everything. Probably the best marital advice ever, everything in your head does not need to be said. Relationship Saving Tip 101. We're going to be back in a moment. When we come back, Ken, I want to hear some real tips that we can use today at supper to make our relationships better. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. It's Stephanie Staples with your quick tip of the week. Here's a few tips to help you put procrastination behind you. Perfectionism kills. Done is better than perfect. Done is better than perfect. Let me repeat that. Done is better than perfect, and definitely better than not being done at all. Don't let perfectionism kill you. Make a game out of it. Set the kitchen timer or your cell phone alarm clock, or see how much you can get done of that certain task in X amount of minutes. It'll be fun. Do what you dread most first. Just get it over with. Put it to bed. Be done with it already. Do it first, and you don't have to keep wasting your time thinking about it. Speaking of thinking, don't think so much about it. There's always going to be 100 reasons why you shouldn't do it, 1,000 other things that you could be doing. Stop thinking so much. Just put your head to it and do it. Try withholding a pleasure. No more morning coffee until I dot, dot, dot. No checking my email until I dot, dot, dot. You get the idea. Put procrastination behind you. Start now. Big shout out to Vivacity Fitness, 561 St. Anne's Road. Keep you in shape. Don't wait for the new year. It's time. Start right now. It's a nice, small place, very casual and comfortable, and I personally love it there. Check out Vivacity Fitness. We are in the studio. We are talking with Ken Keyes. He's the author of Why Aren't You More Like Me? And by the by, check out his website, whyaren'tyoumorelikeme.com, for more information and pick up the book. We're going to tell you as much as we can in the time we've got. Ken, one of the parts that always strikes me is the part about values.
Yes.
I think people don't spend time thinking about what they value, and then they die.
Well, that's one way of looking at it for sure. Boy, that was quick. Here we go. We've gone through it. I mean, one of the elements about life right now for all of us, and I think about even my kids or my son who's in university, is that we have so many choices in life, so many different things that are pushing and pulling on us. And if we don't determine what our values are, then we have so many situations. And so I make a statement, and it's chapter 8 in the book where I cover this in detail, is that we make situational-based decisions instead of values-based decisions. And so situations are pulling, and that looks like a good opportunity. So what we get people to do is to filter through a list of values and for you to identify what are your top behavioral values, and to use those values, once you've determined what they are, Stephanie, is you use them as a filter to all the opportunities that you are connecting to, if it's life, if it's around work, around the different pieces. So I'll give you an example. A couple of my values is independence, challenge, and responsibility. And so if I look at my work life prior to doing my life's work of 25 years of this now, is that all the jobs that I had in the past had independence, had responsibility, had challenge as part of it, but I was not intentional. I wasn't really aware of those pieces. The challenge for people is that the last stat is that 80% of people dislike what they do to mildly irritated to loathe. The last stat in the U.S. is 50% of people are completely disengaged from their life as far as work, and they're not even connected to it. Why? Because the nature of the work, the nature of their role and responsibility, it's not being fulfilled. And so in our area, you have needs and fears. So an independent value would be that I want to be control of self versus being controlled others by others. So is the role, the responsibility, my life reflect that value? Or I had another situation. I was working with a client, as a consultant, and he had hired people where tranquility was their value in a credit collection department.
Wow.
And so, that's right. And he had a 400% turnover. And he said, I can't figure out why.
Wow.
I want to have the nicest credit collection department of the country. And I said, well, the challenge is that one of their number one needs as tranquility is to have harmony, and their fear is conflict. Well, what happens in a credit collection? So even though he was well-meaning, there was a conflict there, and that's why people were turning over, and that's where the nature of the work was not matched to the nature of the values of the individual.
So it would be so helpful, even in a partnership, never mind business, but in a partnership to just really know and be clear on what the values are of each other.
Oh, and you can see that because we know when we get into, we do a lot of relationship work, we have a lot of consultants that use our tools in that way, is that the value of money, the value of how you spend money, the value of how you spend time, because that's really actually even more precious than money. Mm-hmm. And some person wants to kind of decompress and be home and just read a book. Somebody else wants to go out and just meet with all their friends or go to a movie and do all this. And so all of a sudden you have the conflict of these different values and also even the priorities. So maybe you can have an agreement about how much money we're going to have as extra money to kind of spend. But now you can't agree on what we're going to spend it on. So somebody wants to buy a motorcycle and somebody else wants to pay down the debt on the mortgage. And so these things come in. So it, once you establish that, now I can communicate that to somebody else. And it's so much easier to be able to function. There were five independent studies done recently, Stephanie. One was in UCLA, one was in the University of Chicago, one was in the University of Toronto. And when a person establishes their values, there are several things that occur. One is my willpower and my objectivity improves immediately. My ability to actually to push back and to state what I'm really, really thinking. And also my defensiveness goes down once I've established what my values are. My ability to actually, my stress level reduces because the, your biochemistry of your body improves once you have a life that's aligned with your values. And it's amazing where all of a sudden my illness levels go down because I clarified what my values are and who thought. So all of these are validated through research studies that have just come out.
You know, that's fascinating information. And I mean, you are speaking to the choir probably and people that are listening as well. So here's my concern is that at the beginning we talked about which people like are gung-ho to do the assessment and which people aren't.
Right.
And most of us that are like gung-ho to do it, we married someone who's like not, most of us, right? So how do we convince when we see all the advantages of being values focused and figuring out and taking the time and the effort and the money to do these assessments and, you know, how do we not convince maybe isn't the right word, but, you know,
influence.
That's the word.
Well, part of that is to find out why are they resisting. And so until I'm going to quote unquote convince or influence is that people need reasons, but they also have reasons about why they're not. So if I can discover that, can I actually build the picture of the benefits of why I should bother to do it? So if I say, you know what, our relationship's going to improve. We're going to get along better. We're going to have less stress. We're going to have less conflict. We're going to be able to realize and feel more fulfilled as a result of that. So when you start listing all these things out, rather than take an assessment, nobody wants to take an assessment. They want to say, well, what's it going to do for me? How is it going to help me? And the other side is for us to be empathetic enough and listening enough to say, okay, Stephanie, I understand that you aren't interested in this. Can you help me understand why? And so that we can dig a little deeper, because sometimes our assumptions, and we know where that goes, is incorrect as far as or what might be the reason that the person is hesitating.
Not because they don't love you. Or
That's right. You don't really care, obviously. Yeah. And we start using those language and those words around those pieces there.
Is it something that we can break down? Because sometimes the assessments are, you know, they're a little cumbersome. They're a little longer. Is it something that we could break down into pieces and...
And that's actually what we've done with our assessment. It's very inexpensive, Stephanie. It's very simple to do. We have 21 values that the person goes through. We said prioritize these. But if they go online or the print version, doesn't matter. We actually take it and we create a forced choice matrix where all 21 values are compared to each other five times. And so you make 300 decisions in less than about 15 minutes online. And all of a sudden the cream rises to the top. So we took the process, built it down. And so now you have a very simple way to be able to determine what your values are without any kind of burden, no pressure. And so then you get a nice report at the end that said, here's what you said your values are. Mm-hmm. Here's what you have prioritized for them. But you have to do the work. So if I want to realize these benefits, which your show does, and thank you that you're doing this, but if I'm not going to do these steps, then guess what? I'm not going to have an outcome. So if I'm not going to work out, guess what? My fitness is not going to improve.
It's pretty simple. People want to make it more complicated. It's not that complicated, folks.
It's not.
We just got to do the work. And sometimes, you know what? I call it happy homework. It's not so bad. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. If you like what you're hearing, check out my website at yourlifeunlimited.ca. If you want to bring a little motivation, inspiration into your workplace, I would love to come talk to your group. And if not, there's tons of resources, articles, videos, and all that kind of good stuff. And if you are thinking about coaching, stop thinking about it and just start. Don't wait for Monday. Don't wait for January. Just start. Check out yourlifeunlimited.ca. Find me on Facebook. I'm pretty easy to locate. I'm the Stephanie Staples that's not the gospel singer, okay? Don't ask me to be singing. And if you haven't been to one of our Mo Mondays event, I'm telling you, they're crazy awesome. The next one is January the 6th, and you can go to, again, on the site under events on yourlifeunlimited.ca. You can sign up there. It'll be the best $10 you ever spent. And like Zig Ziglar said, motivation, you know, some people think motivation doesn't last. It does last, but it's like a bath. You have to keep immersing yourself in it. So whether it's Sunday mornings at 9 or the Facebook page or whatever it is, keep getting yourself motivated. I'm excited because I'm talking to Ken Keyes. He's the author of Why Aren't You More Like Me? Check out his website too and get that book. Whyaren'tyoumorelikeme.com is the site. And Ken's going to be doing a guest blog post on my blog as well, and we'll put some links up to his site and all sorts of good stuff. You talk a lot about introversion and extroversion in your book and in your work. So let's give us a little bit of insight into that.
Well, a lot of times if we're thinking about those people that are listening, what is the stereotypical definition, Stephanie, of an introvert or an extrovert? So most people would say that an extrovert is somebody that's people oriented. So for
loud.
Or loud or maybe us. I don't know.
Maybe.
That's possibly. I'm not sure. But for the purposes of our work, that's not the definition. And I'll come to the definition here in a moment. And then on the flip side, if you were to ask the stereotypical definition of what's an introvert, what would most people say? Well, somebody that's quiet, somebody that's reserved, somebody that kind of doesn't like people. But for our work and all the stuff that is based on for our assessments, that's not the definition. And so here's our definition, and you can get it, chapter 6 in the book, so it goes real in detail there, is that introversion and extroversion is a person's orientation towards the environment. It's not about where they get their energy. It's not about people. You have to forget all those things. An extrovert is somebody who sees the environment as an opportunity to be influenced. They see the environment where they want to tell it what to do. They want to see the environment where they control it. They want to engage the environment because it excites them, and actually they have to engage the environment to actually feel alive. On the flip side, an introvert is somebody where they see the environment where I need to be careful in. I need to be cautious in it. The environment, they are more responders to environmental stimulus. In other words, I'll defer to what the environment tells me rather than the other way around. And so they'll be more careful and cautious. And where all this work came, and all this is how it set up our tool and how it's different than others, is that the research is based on the reticular activating system. So this is the nervous system that's at the base of your brain. So extroverts actually have less nerve fibers. So they can tolerate more stress. They can go out there, and this is not about people, because there's extroverts who really don't like people, but they want to be in charge. And so we, in our model, we call that the behavioral action individual. And so they're going to tell the environment what to do, but they're very task driven. On the flip side, introverted individuals, their reticular activating system, they have more nerve fibers. So these are the individuals that have way more attention to detail. And so when I say more nerve fibers, their radar dish on a given event, there's more data that they take in, even though it's the identical event that introvert and extrovert is looking at. And so the introvert, on the other side, we have some individuals where their sensitivities towards to people are very high. So there are people that are listening to this, and you know who you are, is that you'll walk into a room. You don't know anybody, but there's conflict going on in the room. And so this introverted group can feel it. They can sense it immediately just there because they have this great big radar dish and they're taking it in. In fact, if there's conflict that's going on that's significant, it actually will make them ill because all this input. So it's not about people. It's really about my orientation around the environment. And this is a powerfully sort of releasing definition for people that most people don't hear out there.
Yeah, it's a really different way to think about it.
So, and the reason that it's different is that we have these other ones. They said, okay, if it's extroversion is around people and we have all these different personal styles that we talk about, then it excludes half the population. And if introverted has nothing to do with people, then we have a dimension we call interpersonal harmony. They're introverted, but they're very good at serving others. They're very good at taking care of others. They're very good at helping others, but they're still introverted. And that's why they are in that sort of category, is because they will defer to what Stephanie would like as far as serving you and helping you. And they're great, compassionate individuals. But here's another category that really kind of messes with people called the cognitive analysis individual, which is detail oriented, but they're very verbal. They're very outspoken, but they're introverted because they need lots of language. They need lots of details. They need lots of information to feel that they can fulfill the roles and responsibilities or to get things done. And so, and the behavioral action individual is that they're short, they don't have a lot of language, they're nonverbal, they think that you know what's in their head in advance, but they're extroverted. And so these behavioral action individuals, they can go to a costume party. So, you know, Halloween has come and gone at different times. And so they're invited to a costume party. They will go when they want. They'll dress what they want. They won't play any silly or stupid games. They'll leave that party when they want. And somebody says, oh, poor Stephanie, she didn't get engaged with the game. So obviously introverted. No, she didn't get involved because she doesn't like you. She didn't want to be in Broadway. Well, I'm not suggesting she doesn't like you. No, Stephanie likes you. It was just an illustration. But the point being is that they didn't involve because they chose not to, not because there was any fear or anything like that. It was not something that they wanted to do. And so they were going to tell the environment, even though the hostess says, come on, play this game, Ken. No, I'm not going to do it because I'm not interested in it.
So again, it's about learning to judge people less, right, when you understand them more.
Absolutely. And the other thing about introversion and extroversion is what we call physical capacity that comes into that. Extroverts have more physical energy to engage the environment, so they can tolerate a little bit more stress. They don't withdraw. A lot of times the affective expressive individual, which both of us kind of have a little bit in as part of us, we might actually go out to a movie or go out for dinner to relax. Where the introvert actually can't, doing that actually is now their glass is full. So imagine if I'm an introvert, what happens to a computer hard drive when it's full? Crashes, right? So if I've taken all this data in, that's why the introvert has to kind of withdraw and be able to have their own space, is because their hard drive's full. And the other individuals, the extroverts, are kind of going out there and taking in more data because I need to be stimulated to feel alive. And so I cover all those pieces in the book in detail in chapter 6, the values in chapter 8. And then we bring that all together in an assessment that's included as part of the book so that they can actually get the results and the answers that we talked about here in the show today.
That's pretty cool. So, if you wanted to do something different with your spouse or your family, this would be a cool activity to do. And it makes you realize that we need everybody, all these different personality types, to be part of the team. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. We have been speaking with Ken Keyes. He's the author of Why Aren't You More Like Me? If you are ready to take a jump, this could possibly be it. Take one of his assessments. WhyAren'tYouMoreLikeMe.com. Ken, if there was just one thing you could let people know, what would that be?
That this information is foundational to success. There was a research study that said and identified that only 2% of the population will realize their potential without this information. It's more important than education, money, any of those things. And so when you understand your style, you reflect and honor yourself, and you honor the differences that you have around us, and that we need all the people around us. So just engage, have fun with it, and enjoy, and realize your potential.
I love it. Thanks so much for sharing your knowledge. I look forward to learning more from you at a future time. It really reinforces my one key point of belief, and that's work harder on yourself than on anything else. Work harder on yourself than on anything else. It's Stephanie Staples encouraging you to live your life unlimited.